Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. We're rolling?
Yeah.
Are we rolling?
Oh, we're rolling. Rolling.
Is this the show?
It might as well be.
Do I even need to introduce us
anymore? Is this how we do it now? Is this what we've become?
We've gotten lazy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Movie Crush, the Mini Crush edition.
Miniest Crush.
So, Noel, you got on a Weird Tales shirt,
which
I noticed.
Yeah.
And then you said you got it at Dragon Con.
I got it at Dragon Con.
To tell me about your great Dragon Con, and like I usually do,
yeah.
Put a sock in your mouth.
You put it right in there.
Until those mics are on. Let's hear about
this
Dragon
mic
Con.
Looks deceptively like a sock, though. It's weird. There's like a sock on the mic.
First of all, some people might not even know, Noel. What mm-hmm. is Dragon Con?
It's like the Comic Con of the South, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's less corporate, and it leans really heavily into the cosplay aspect of it. Like, that's, I think it's the one for that.
Yeah, I mean, of course, Comic Cons are...
But I went to New York Comic Con, and I remember being nonplussed by the quality of the costumes.
Have
versus
you been to San Diego?
No. Is that big?
It's ridiculous.
That's the one?
Okay. But sure. I mean, Dragon Con is well known for the parade that happens. Is it on Memorial or Labor Day or the day before? Is it Sunday or Monday?
It's the day before. It's Saturday.
Oh, it's Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
Okay, because we went one year, and I loved it. And I hate to be that guy now, but the crowds. It's hard these days.
No, it's rough. Uh-huh. Yeah, the crowds are insane.
With a 4-year-old, you got to keep her on a leash, and I don't want to do
that. It's an absolute crush. And so I have a 10-year-old, as you may or may not know. I know
sure.
you know, but the listening audience may or may not know.
You have a daughter?
I do. You've met her, Chuck. You know this. Don't be coy. But she went full bore into cosplay this year. She's into anime now, and there's this really popular show called My Hero Academia, and she picked this one kind of villainous character and dressed up as her, and she took it the extra mile because there were a lot of kids dressed up as this costume, as this character. But she had all these extra accessories that were kind of optional.
Real human blood?
We built them. No, it wasn't human blood, but she has this kind of neck brace-looking thing that has vampire teeth on it, and we cut it out of blue felt
nice.
And then cut the teeth out of foam and hot glued it on there.
Look good.
And then we made her a little ninja mask with like little tubes on it because she's a vampire and has to have blood coursing through these tubes.
Yeah.
And we just cut off little pieces of like water bottle straws, you know, the bendy ones.
Sure.
And then spray painted them gray and hot glued them onto this ninja mask.
Hot glue, baby.
Oh, man. It's hot.
Yes.
And it's gluey.
And it's crafty.
It's really crafty. But she did most of the work, and people just kept stopping to take pictures with her.
That's great.
So she felt like $1 million.
Yeah.
She won
wonderful
at Comic-Con. Yeah.
I can't wait for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And the character's name is Himiko Toga, and people kept calling her Tiny Toga.
That's
multiple
great.
People called her that. It was
so
great.
That was just a great day for dad and child.
Yeah, and that was the first half of the day. It was me and her and my old friend Harry from my hometown of Augusta who came to visit.
You're like, and then I went to a strip club.
Well, no. We also had one of my daughter's good friends and her dad, and we all did the Comic-Con thing. Sorry, the Dragon Con thing.
Sure.
And then took them home, and then me and Harry came back out and went to like adult stuff and saw
yeah.
shows and went to parties and stuff. Have you heard of the band Bit Brigade, Chuck?
No, is it one of those what's it called?
Chiptunes?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
So it's an offshoot of a kind of a math rock speed metal band called Cine Mechanica, who are from Athens. And what these guys do, Bit Brigade, is they cover the soundtracks to classic video games while someone speed beats the game live on stage. And they play along with the game, and it's synced up perfectly to everything that's happening in real time.
Kill me, but great.
It's the coolest thing ever. They did Mega Man 2, all the little boss fights, all the little stage songs, everything. Was just,
I would imagine
was
if you
so
know
good.
Those games, it has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, but there's something for everybody because you can get fascinated by how like perfectly this guy beats the game. The music is great. They're kind of like meddled up versions of the songs.
I had Pac-Man fever. That's all I had.
Well, they could do Pac-Man. They could do Pac-Man. Because if you think about it, a lot of those like kind of MIDI, chiptune things are pretty baroque. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of like arpeggiated kind of business.
Totally.
So, yeah.
It's real music.
Yeah, it's very good stuff. Very much enjoyed it.
How many days were you there?
Just the one. Just did Saturday.
That's
just
a
did
lot
Saturday.
Of
Yeah, we walked something like 15 miles.
Oh, that's great.
Tracked it, you know, on the app or whatever.
Yeah. So did you have passes and stuff so you could get in everywhere?
Oh, yeah. We just bought the one-day pass, but yeah. that was plenty.
Yeah.
People that do the whole 4 days, 5 days or whatever, hey, I can't even imagine.
More power to them.
Seriously.
Like, literally, they need more power.
Absolutely, they need more power. Energy drinks is what they call that. Or Mountain Dew.
That's great, Noel. I was bummed because I, you know, tend to go away on Labor Day weekend, so I miss a lot of the hijinks now. And one thing I really miss is my good pal, Janet Varney, and her wonderful partner, Brandon,
yep,
who are
I saw
good
them
friends.
All over the Instagram stories.
Yeah, man.
People are hanging.
I don't get to see them. Every year they're coming to Atlanta now, and I haven't gotten to see them. And not only that, but Work Juice Improv, who I was able to perform with at Max FunCon, with Hal Lubin and Gagliardi in the gang, they were all here performing. And so Hal is on Facebook sending out pictures of Fox Brothers and, like, all these restaurants near me. And I was so mad that I wasn't here to hang and get interviews with those guys.
Were you out of town?
Yeah, I was in – I mean, it was great. We did shows
of course.
In Boston and Portland, Maine, and then the family came up.
That's right. No, I knew about that.
The weekend in Maine.
Yeah, that's
which,
right.
By the way,
it's beautiful.
Amazing.
Yeah?
Oh, dude.
Did you see Stephen King?
Ridiculous.
Did you see Rose Matter?
I didn't see
Pennywise the Clown, but that was in Derry. That's in Maine as well.
It's a weird, cool, awesome place.
Yeah.
Like, I had a movie idea when I was there. I was like, man, I need to write
awesome.
This movie. And I had another movie idea this morning. I'm flowing with ideas, Noel.
I love that. Mm.
All right. Speaking of ideas. We're going to the
Chuck just put on his glasses. That was a move right there.
That was a move. Yeah. Oh, God, this chair. I'm sinking.
Uh-oh.
How do you keep this from...
You got to pull the believer and then you lift your butt up at the same time.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of the chair that just dips back when you
no.
sit in
it. No. You can also lock it. There's like a...
Oh, it's locked.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I'm locked and
locked
loaded.
Locked and loaded, baby. All right.
All right. We're going with a bunch of social studies, guys.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
Because... I had some good ideas from some of you on the Movie Crush page when I asked for ideas a couple of weeks ago. And I'm using some of that stuff, but also just thought of some other stuff. And we're going to go with favorite book adaptation, followed by worst book adaptation. And this had a lot of engagement because people, you know how it is with these books, Noel. People get very...
These books? you know these books.
You know, you read a great book
I know,
and it's so like so much more rich than a movie ever can be.
Right.
And it's a beloved personal thing.
Yeah.
You cast it in your brain.
You do.
And then a movie comes out, and rarely, rarely is it great, and they nail it, right?
Well, it's just one of those things, too, where sometimes maybe they get one of the casting bits right.
Right.
You're like, I can see that. That looks sort of like my imaginary character that I have been picturing in my mind low these many years.
Such a big part of it, casting,
It really is. Mm. And it can really make or break it for – it can even make or break it for someone to even take the plunge of even bothering seeing the thing.
Totally.
Because people will
I'm not going to see that.
No.
Tom Cruise's Lestat.
Are you kidding me? No. I refuse. Boycott it. You know, like seriously.
All right. So we're going to go through these. We'll start with Will Gutierrez. Perks of Being a Wallflower are fantastic. Capture the heart of the book. And that was sort of the follow-up question was like, you know, you really got to capture the spirit of the book, I think, more than anything. That and casting. Two biggest deals. Old pal John Millsap says, Lord of the Rings. He says, sorry, Chuck. But he said they did an amazing job of capturing the fantasy of the world that Tolkien created.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I totally agree with
and,
that.
And, you know, Peter Jackson is a lifer Tolkien fan. I mean, he treated that material. He'd been dreaming this up, you know, his whole life probably.
He was like, making Dead Alive thinking about
when he could
Hobbits
work his way up.
For 10 hours.
Totally, man. I mean, you're joking, but I really do think that like this was something that was in his heart and in his mind the whole time.
I think it's great he got to realize his vision in such a way. I really do. And when I saw that Shire for the first time, I was like, it reminded me of childhood.
Love that Shire.
My deal is though, I just didn't read all that stuff, so I didn't have that connection.
Yeah. And that's an interesting one. That's a really interesting point, Chuck, because you didn't enjoy it just on its own merits. You weren't a fan of the book, so you didn't even have that skin in the game.
No skin.
And then you just weren't into it as a movie either.
I mean, I bag on it a lot. The first one was okay.
Yeah.
It's not like I stomped out of there and said I hated it.
In a huff.
I just thought they were there was just too much of it all. It was just too long.
It's a lot.
All of it was a lot.
It's a lot of material.
And if you're not a big fan of the thing, it's just a lot to sit through, you know, as a medium fan.
You're not, you never really were like a D&D guy, were you, Chuck?
I tried to play D&D, and I never fully got into it. But I tried because it was such a cultural phenomenon in the mid-80s. Like, I had the book and stuff, but I don't know. It was always too much work for me.
Probably sort of the way you tried to read the Lord of the Rings books and just kind of gave up because it wasn't for you.
Believe it or not, Noel, I was an outdoor kid. Like, I was outside shooting basketball.
That's awesome.
Instead of and jumping my bikes. I was not an indoor kid, D&D kid.
No, I don't think those things have to be mutually exclusive, though.
A lot of times they are.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Not always, though. You're right. But my mom was never like, oh, put that thing down and go out and, you know.
Put down that 12-sided die, Chuck, and go ride your bike.
I grew up in the woods, man. I grew up on a couple of acres with like a creek. Like, you know, we were in nature. I wasn't in a neighborhood. That would have been a big difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Being in a neighborhood, you got kids all over the place.
That's right.
Come over, play D&D.
Exactly.
Spin a bottle.
Live on a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, God, I wanted to live in a cul-de-sac so bad.
I know.
Isn't it funny? All right, Tina Cheever, Old Pal, A Time to Kill. Probably the best book adaptation I've seen. Our old pal, Vanessa Lopez, Master and Commander. Ooh, Vanessa, you were speaking my language. You ever see that one, Noel?
No. You're saying you're for it?
Oh, it's so great.
Cool.
I mean, I didn't read the books, so I'm just basing it on the movie, but I don't see how anyone could have been disappointed in that as a fan of the books.
This is a Russell Crowe vehicle, yes?
Yeah, so okay, good.
Cool.
Really, really good.
Is he the master and the commander, or are those two different characters?
Master or commander. Oldest of pals, Zach Pointer, says Fight Club did a good job. Yeah, I read that book. You know, I'm going to do Fight Club with Maddie.
I know, he told me.
And that's our series is going to be hit movies with Maddie because people love The Matrix so much because I think it was just so many people have seen and loved that film.
Right.
So I was like, let's just do some big hit movies.
Hit movies.
Fight Club was a hit movie.
Fight Club was a hit movie.
Yeah.
I would argue a minor hit, though, Chuck.
Minor hit. It wasn't a blockbuster.
No.
But it's not called Blockbusters with Maddie. It's called Hit Movies with Maddie.
Hit Movies with Maddie. That's pretty good. And, you know, we've talked about this, too. Fight Club, a movie that kind of has not aged well for some, let us say. In terms of its display of what they now refer to as toxic masculinity. And it's very much a thing. It's that proto kind of incel culture on display in that movie, for sure. Well, I'm kind of bummed that I'm not going to be a part of it, Chuck.
You can sit in. You want to?
Nah.
We can roundtable it.
I got stuff to do. Maybe. Are you doing it like now?
No, it's scheduled for a couple of weeks. We'll talk
All right, let's talk.
Because that's boring. Maybe we should start a series, Tent Poles with Noel.
Noel's Tent Pole Holes.
That's also on the Playboy channel.
With Noel.
Oh, God. old friend Dan Maynard says, The Martian. If they tried to fit the whole book in, it would have been too much. They did a great job of finding the middle ground. That's also very key, Noel. You gotta know what to put in the movie and what to leave out of the movie. That is so important.
Editing 101, Chuck.
Yeah, but I mean, with a book, you can never put it all in there.
Yeah.
So you got to really find the right stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Because how many times have you left a film adaptation of a book thinking, oh, I can't believe they didn't even, like, they just left out this whole subplot.
Well, yeah, there's a character famously left out of the Lord of the Rings movie, Tom Bombadil, who is like a fan favorite character.
Okay.
People were very upset about that. Right. I don't know. I didn't read the books either, Chuck, so I don't even know why people liked him so much. But he was apparently.
You didn't read those?
I didn't read
those.
You
just loved the movie.
I just liked that. I enjoyed the movies very much. I was a Peter Jackson fan, so I liked I liked his work. I liked what he did with them. I thought they were cool movies.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his too. He cares a lot about his work. Let me see here. Chris Preville says, Princess Bride, hands down. We talked about that with Molly Coffey about the fact that that was a book. But I don't think I knew that previously. Charles Martin Akers says, Shawshank, completely nailed it. I kind of forgot about that. That was Stephen King.
Yeah, and it was a short story.
Right.
Which kind of means that they were able to include almost everything, if you think about it.
Yeah, I've never read it. I bet you it was pretty close.
It's very close.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, all I'm saying is like if you're adapting a giant 1,000-page book or something like that, you're going to have to pick and choose. But if you're just adapting, you know, 100 pages or even 50 pages into a film, you can kind of pick it all.
Sure. That's a good idea. Jonathan Cooley says, Jurassic Park, hands down. He loved the book. And the movie changed everything. Oldest of friends, Bennett Duckworth, says The Green Mile. Another Rachel Corston, old pal, says Princess Bride. It's starting to get a lot of love here. Interesting. Mother Night, John Wilde's. I have seen that. I think I forgot that was a Kurt Vonnegut jam.
That's right.
Nick Nolte and Alan Arkin. Yes.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that I need to read that. Oh, boy, I loved reading her comments because her name is Jenna Van Valen. So close. The two strongest, she says, are Cuckoo's Nest and Mockingbird, Kill a Mockingbird. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and To Kill a Mockingbird, yeah. Hard to argue. Great adaptations. Oh, here we go, Noel. James G. Woodbeck, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I got to say, that was a favorite book of mine, and I did not think it was possible to make that into a movie.
I mean, is the book more stream of consciousness-y kind of? Or?
No, I mean, it's really the same. I mean, the voiceover is from the book.
It's really pulled from that? Okay, yeah.
And it's just more Hunter S. Thompson goodness.
Sure.
More detail, more interior monologue.
Right.
It's great.
Another one.
The movie was really, really good, I think.
Another one that's in that psychedelic camp mm-hmm. is Naked Lunch by yeah. William S. Burroughs, who, you know, famously, that's just really all over the place in stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
And, like, I think he was even doing some cut-up experiments where he would just, like,
oh, really?
Do random things and cut them up and put them together
wow.
for parts of it. And so that movie, you know, the Cronenberg movie, I think is very, takes a lot of creative license because the
yeah.
source material is just so well, batshit crazy.
Make
you
it
know?
I mean, it was still crazy, but you got to make it into something entertaining
mm-hmm.
somehow,
mm-hmm.
which is tough.
Yeah. And we've talked about, I did an episode with you where we talked about adaptation. That's a movie about adapting books. And
that's right.
It adapted a book called The Orchid Thief that was a much more straight
I think article, of, right? Or no?
It was what?
I think it was like a New Yorker piece, right?
Well, it was or based, was it, no, it was a book.
A book.
It was, the book was
oh, okay.
based on the New Yorker piece and then Susan,
oh,
Lee,
gotcha.
Susan Leon, what's her name? That was close. If that wasn't quite right, forgive me. But Susan Orlean then adapts her New Yorker piece into a book, which is what Charlie Kaufman was paid to adapt,
right.
and he can't figure out how to do it.
Right.
So
great.
He makes a weird sub kind of meta, like psychedelic journey thing, which I love.
That was our movie, Noel.
It was.
Benjamin Johnson says, No Country for Old Men. I 1,000% agree. That was one of the best adaptations I've ever seen.
And it had some
really nailing it.
Great pulls, great like direct dialogue pulls from
yeah.
the, you know, the line about carrying the, you know, fire and a horn and all that
oh,
stuff.
So
just classic. Cormac McCarthy is like a biblical writer. He writes with this bravado yeah. that you just can't find.
Have you ever read Blood Meridian?
I have, yeah.
That's the one they say is like unfilmable, right?
Because it's just so bonkers in terms of like how epic everything
well,
is.
It's so violent. Like.
And the Indian attacks, the all that stuff.
Oh, boy. It's rough. Another vote for Cormac McCarthy, but The Road, that's from Steve Madrid. Yeah, man. Cormac McCarthy has a pretty good track record, now that I think about it, of adaptations working out. Good stuff. So we didn't get through that many, everyone, but there are several hundred comments. I encourage you to go to the Facebook post and interact because you're all always so great. And there was a post on the Movie Crushers page just about how everyone loves this community, Noel.
It's a good one. We just talk about it here.
Kind, supportive. People disagree very respectfully.
Of course.
Best case scenario. You want to have discourse. You want to be able to disagree.
Absolutely.
We never agree. And
that's
we're still
not, that's not true.
See? We disagreed.
Wow. You set me up for that one, Chuck.
All right. Followed by worst adaptation. Totally did not get the book spirit. Bad casting. You name it. Jonathan Cooley says, Ready Player One. Really loved the book. Hated the movie. Matthew Oliver says, Ready Player One. There's a lot of people doing that. Stacey Margaret Jones says, Wrinkle in Time was terrible.
It was so bad.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's bad.
It's
Emily
so
won't,
bad.
She refuses to watch because that was a very beloved book.
Very important book
and
for a lot of people.
She almost did just for curiosity. It was like, no, don't want to do it.
I think, I mean, to me, it was a combination of just like the overly saccharine earnestness of the performances and a lot of bad CGI.
Yeah.
It was just not good. And it was confusing, kind of. It was like, what is this? I don't understand. And the book would have made it much more clear. I haven't read the book either, but it would have made it much more clear. It would have really immersed you in that world and made you understand it
yeah.
internally, as opposed to just shoving a bunch of CGI butterflies in front of you. You know what I mean? Like, it just did not do the trick, for sure.
Yeah, totally. How do you mess something like that up that bad.
Well, it's hard.
It's just a colossal,
yeah,
colossal failure on every level.
But I mean, it's the same with those stupid Alice in Wonderland movies that Tim Burton did. Yeah. I think those are awful.
Yeah, they're not good.
You know, it's too much trying to cram this visual pastiche at you,
right,
as opposed to like giving you a story that actually is meaningful. You know,
that's right? My friend worked on the Wrinkle in Time. Mm.
She's the one that hung up the green screen?
No. I'm not even going to say where she worked because I don't want to out her as anything because she did not have a very good experience on it. And it is no wonder it sucked.
Really?
Yeah. So it was not a good
production.
Nope.
Troubled.
Bad.
Because that director, too, Ava DuVernay, she had made this, historical, period piece about Selma, which people seem to really like. But I gotta wonder, going from that to a big set piece fantasy thing, is that
CGI.
A little bit of a jump? Are they two different kind of things?
I don't see how directors. I think it's a big time skill to be able to direct CGI scenes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you really gotta, because when you see the sets of all these people in their, what are the suits called?
With little dots on them or whatever.
Motion capture suits. In front of green screens, like, it's tough. And for the actors, too. Like, I think hats off to anyone that can really perform like that.
Just to keep a straight face.
Yeah.
Not crack up at the fact that you're supposed to be emoting at this weird dude in platform shoes and, like, covered in dots.
Yeah, because you get so much out of the wardrobe and the set and, like, feeling like you're in the moment.
It's true.
That's really hard. Our oldest of friends, Adam Pelletier, says, The Dark Tower. Dear God, The Dark Tower. So disappointing. Yeah, I didn't see that.
It seemed really rushed, whatever they did with it. I didn't see it either because it just didn't look good.
Yeah.
And I heard it wasn't good. But they are doing it properly as a miniseries, which they always should have done, you know?
Right.
At least with the It movies, say what you will about them, at least they made two movies.
I'm looking forward to the other one.
Yeah. Did you? The first one I thought was just fine.
I enjoyed it. Didn't read the book, but I really liked the movie.
Fun.
Thought it was good.
Very well done.
Very fucking scary. Stephanie Mecklenburg, old pal, says, Time Traveler's Wife. The whole movie was a mess, even though she loves Eric Bana. Banya? How do you pronounce that?
Bana.
Bana? So neither one?
Banya.
I don't know. I didn't know if there was a little,
that's
you know.
Funny. No, that's just funny. Eric Bana.
Joe, he's missing out. He should be Eric Banya.
Exactly.
Joe
from Telemundo.
Says, Cloud Atlas from Joe Burns. Yeah, that movie gets panned.
That's a weird one, because I know some people that really liked it. They say it's weird, but they're like, but it was like, kind of...
You got to get past that.
Get past it. Voice thing. It's pretty cool. What voice thing?
I think like Tom Hanks, everyone had these weird accents and voices.
Oh, really?
Kind of hard to get past.
That always is a little tough, yeah.
Ken Herbert says The Shining. Awesome movie, but the book is so much better.
Yeah, it's just one where the book is very different. The movie is the movie. The book is the book. They're two different kind of works of art. You know?
Two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Old pal Vanessa Cashman agrees about The Time Traveler's Wife. TJ Danny says, Running with Scissors. Wonderful book turned into a hateful, terribly acted bore. TJ, I disagree. I enjoyed Running with Scissors, the book and the movie. Yeah, maybe I don't know. I liked it.
Not familiar.
It wasn't the best thing ever, but I thought it was pretty good. It's good. It's like a memoir. I can't remember who wrote it. But good film.
Family thing? Isn't there family involved?
Yeah, it's like set in the 70s. It's about a boy and his kind of crazy parents.
Yeah. His mom's always like, you better not run with those scissors.
I think coming in terms of his sexuality, I liked it.
Okay.
Ender's Game from Vanessa Lopez. Total disaster. Carrie McQuaid says A Wrinkle in Time. The Hobbit from old pal Kayla M.H.
Yeah. Well, weird choice to make it three movies for like a pretty short book.
I think even big fans of that whole thing kind of had a hard time with that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, was it 9 hours? Was it 3 hours
each?
Yeah,
yeah.
Ugh.
Which is, you would, yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, the thing is like, you know, the Lord of the Rings movies are long, but those are long books and there's a lot of them. This one was like a short book that was kind of written for children.
Yeah.
More than the others, I think. The Hobbit was, I think, more of like a fantasy, like for kids almost. Uh-huh. And I think it must have been studio meddling, saying stretch the material.
And the
Jackson.
Weird thing he shot it in, that hyper-realistic.
Oh, yeah. I think they ditched that. It was just a higher frame rate.
They exhibited it like that, though, in certain markets.
Oh, yeah. And it's you know what it looks like? It looks like that horrible motion smoothing, which, have you seen the thing? A bunch of directors have come out, I think. And they came up with an algorithm to give.
Cinema setting.
Cinema setting. Or it's called filmmaker setting.
Right.
Or filmmaker mode or whatever.
Yeah.
And it literally, like, you put it on that mode and it makes it as close to the right frame rate and aspect ratio that filmmakers intend their work to be viewed at. Because motion smoothing is the devil.
It's the devil.
It makes no sense. It makes everything look like a stage play or a weird soap opera. It's bizarre.
The worst. Old pal Joe Baumgartner says World War Z both contain zombies and were set on Earth. That's about where the similarities end. I didn't read the book by Max Brooks, Mel Brooks' son. You know that, right?
I did not know that.
But I do know that it was very, very different because that's all everyone talked about when it came out. Starship Troopers was a book, Noel.
Who knew?
Stephen L. Kokonakos. Great name. He knew.
What did he think?
He said he loved Starship Troopers, the book. The only thing he likes about the movie was the fact that it was so campy.
Well, that's what people like about that movie.
I think so, including him.
Yep.
old friend Mary Olson says, I am legend. Yeah. Let's go through a few more of these. Rob Jewett says, Shane. Terry Kaleho. The Art of Racing in the Rain, brilliant book, mediocre film. I think that one has just now come out.
Yes.
It does not look good.
I have not seen anything about it.
No. Michael Reed, Bonfire of the Vanities. Yeah, that wasn't a very good movie. And we'll finish up here with Rachel McEachin, One for the Money, the absolute worst. Interesting.
I prefer the sequel, Two for the Show.
I love the third, Three to Get Ready.
Yep.
Go ahead, Noel. Finish it.
And then of course, the final chapter. Four to go or to get go?
Go, let go?
Right? Go. Okay. Yeah, that one.
Oh, boy. All right. We're going to finish up with a little fun bit, Noel, about movie retitling. I think you've seen this stuff online before.
I may have, yes.
Like where you change one word of a movie title.
It changes it all.
And it changes it all. And the example I gave was not funny, but it did sum it up. Raiders of the Lost Sox.
That's funny.
Not really.
I find it funny.
It's like something, it's a dad joke.
Yeah, I'm a dad, though.
All right.
It works on me.
Man, these are always so good. About 300 of these online, folks, so go check them out. Megan Broyles, Harry Potter and the Kidney Stone. Martin Kidd, Fantastic Breasts and Where to Find Them. Is that a beast?
Yep.
That's good.
That's good.
Martin Kidd, the Coen Brothers take on Winnie the Pooh. Oh, bother. Where art thou? Very creative. Because that's what Winnie the Pooh would say, right?
He would say that when he gets stuck in a hole in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything goes wrong.
Aaron Lee, The Fashion of the Christ.
Yeah.
Mike Dancy, How Harry Pet Sally. I love these.
Wait, isn't it When Harry Pet Sally?
Oh, true. When Harry Pet Sally.
And a lot of these, we're veering into like porn parody for a lot of these.
That's
I just
right.
want to throw that out
we
there.
We should do one of those porn
like
parodies.
Pulp Friction.
Yeah, that's what you know?
Intercourse with the Vampire.
Gross. Yeah, we should totally do that. That's always fun. I have friends who do like Oscar parties where you have to submit your favorite ones for all that year's nominations. Holly Lawless says 127 seconds.
Holly Lawless?
Yeah, great name.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, Holly, if you're not a bass player in a band, like a country western outlaw rock thing.
Or punk as fuck, you know? I don't know.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, either way. Put a safety pin through your nose and just make it happen.
I agree.
Don't really do that.
No.
Eric Stedman says, Fast and Furious presents Calvin and Hobbes. <That's funny. laughs> You like that?
I could picture that.
Let me see here. Dan Maynard, old friend, says, Three Men and a Little Mortgage.
You know, that's a little too far down the dad joke rabbit hole for me.
Yeah, but Dan's an old friend. I know he can do better.
Yeah.
Well,
let's give him a chance.
We're counting on you.
And if it's the little mortgage, then what's the problem?
Aaron Amorosino, the Texas Chainsaw Museum.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I don't know why that one really gets me.
Well, because
I'm literally picturing a Texas Chainsaw.
I'm picturing it, and A, who asked for this, and B, you know,
like who's the
what
docent?
Kind of person goes to that? Is it just like the history of chainsaws?
Oh, dude, I guarantee you, there's a chainsaw museum.
You think so?
Yeah, look it up.
All right,
Ovaldo Braun says, "Me, myself, and Iron Man." It's the Avengers, but Iron Man played by Jim Carrey with split personality. And also is the villain. Hey, that's actually not bad.
It's crazy. There actually is a chainsaw museum.
Of course,
and it's
in
Wisconsin.
Maine. I missed it, Noel.
It's called the Allagash Chainsaw Museum.
Oh, God. Maine is so wonderful.
Because of logging in the Allagash region.
Gotcha. John Whitefield says the Texas Chainsaw Accident.
Whoops.
Nick Kelly says Avengers Infinity Scarf.
That's
long
funny.
Scarf.
Or Infinity Pool. That would work as well.
Oh, sure. George Anderson, Close Encounters of the Third Grade. I'm surprised that's not a movie about, you know, coming of age elementary school thing. I wrote a movie like that once, Noel. I should have called it that.
Yeah. I think you should. I think it's not
you know
too
what
late.
I called it? What'd
you
Elementary. Call it? That's so dumb.
That's no. What?
It's about a bunch of like sixth graders.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
Oldest friend, Stellan Carlson, Three Men and an Xbox. Yeah, you're talking about college.
Yes.
Oh, oldest of friends now, Ethan Yavin, The Devil Wears Nada.
I've always seen the devil pictured as sort of a genitalia-less red, you know, creature.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like a Ken doll.
Very smooth.
Brian Long, Fear and Loathing in Uranus. Let's see what he did there. Alec, oh, God, why do I always do this, Glaznovich? You know why? It's because you get the C at the end of your name. I always call Alex Alec. I do it every single time. It drives me crazy.
I bet it drives him crazy, too.
He says, E.T. the Extra Tenderloin.
That's pretty good.
I could do this all day.
Yeah.
Jay Frazier, Ferris Bueller's Day In. Chris Kidd, Bonin the Barbarian.
No, I got to go back to Ferris, because Ferris Bueller's Day In would have meant no movie.
Well, that's true.
Because he stayed home.
Well, but he...
He didn't have any adventures.
Yeah, but he did stay home from school.
That was all lies, though.
Sure.
He actually flew the coop and was out there.
The most boring movie would be Ferris Bueller's Day in School.
There you go.
Which is awkwardly titled. Nicole Parks, one of our old pals, says Adventures in Pet Sitting.
What if we did mashups? What if it was like Ferris Bueller's Day of the Dead?
Oh, that's fun, too.
That would have been cool.
That's like a Jeopardy thing.
Yeah, before and after.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I like that. We should have someone write this stuff down for us.
I'll remember this one.
Melinda Balacayo, our old friend, says, Dial M for Margaritas. Hey, I'm with you. That's my movie. Emily makes a great margarita, Noel.
I bet.
You into them?
Of course. Mm. Yeah.
So good. Very minimal ingredients. Just like fresh squeezed lime.
Lime.
A little agave nectar to
That's
take away
do.
That tart.
That's what you do.
And maybe a splash of OJ and some really nice tequila. We
That's
like that
up.
George Clooney stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, by the way, I want to recommend really quickly on that. There's a documentary called Agave that if you are into mezcal or tequila or you're into artisan distilling or if you are into farming or if you're into Mexico – or if you're into stories about family and respecting the earth and doing the right thing ecologically, watch Agave. Highly
okay.
recommended.
Yeah.
So good. You can watch it on Delta.
Shit, I'm taking Southwest this time.
Oh, no. They don't have Agave. Jade Anna Rosenberg says 12 bitchy men instead of 12 angry men. All right, let's do a couple of more of these. Our oldest of pals, once again, Adam Pelletier. Jason Goes to Bed. That's a pretty boring movie. Cam Barfield, American Hysterectomy X.
That's funny.
You like that one?
Yeah.
And let's finish it up here with a couple from Cam Barfield, Fishing Impossible and A Time to Grill. So I think Cam is at the lake right now.
Yeah, that's very, very on brand for Labor Day.
These are all very fun. I enjoy this. Smite Club, Noel. That's not bad.
Is that about God being upset?
And probably so.
Hurling lightning bolts at people.
That's from one of our old friends. Debbie Frangadakis, who looks like is into roller derby. She's a derby girl.
I love derby girls.
Love it. They're great. So is my friend Debbie Ronka. All right. That's it, everyone. This felt like a tight-ish 30.
It was a tight 35, 24, 25, 26, 27.
Goodbye, everyone.
For
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.